Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The rain, what's left, will clear soon, then highs today of 71, 78 tomorrow, 50% chance for showers on Thanksgiving, highs in the mid-70s. I don't know if they're quite sure about the timing of the front yet, when the temperature begins to drop, but highs Friday only of 60, same for Saturday and Sunday. Then Monday, even cooler, highs then of only 54 and into the lower 60s only until next Wednesday. So you'll be able to get those sweaters out, again, if you remember where you put them. Becky Mowbray joins us right now, President and CEO of BGR, and Susie Dudas, Senior Research Analyst for BGR. Good morning, ladies. How are y'all?
Good morning. Great. Doing fine. Thank you
so much for having us on.
You bet. Everybody ready for Thanksgiving?
Absolutely.
I guess so.
Today is National Cake Day, and on a lighter note, before we get to serious business, Becky, you got a favorite cake?
Ooh, chocolate Joberge. I mean, you can't beat that.
And what about you, Susie?
Coconut cream. Mm.
I don't know if you heard my idea with a yellow, one yellow layer, one white layer. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later. Let's talk about, if you've been driving around Jefferson Parish schools, you've seen the sign, support Jefferson Parish Public Schools, and you may have wondered what that's about, and I don't know who wants to start here. You guys, you ladies can decide, but what's on a ballot on December 7th, and what do Jefferson voters have to decide?
Sure, I'll take that, Tommy. On December 7th, Jefferson Parish voters will be asked to consider whether to approve a new tax to fund raises in the Jefferson Parish school system. Jefferson Parish has been finding that it's having a hard time hanging on to teachers. It's been losing more than 500 a year each year since the pandemic, which makes it really hard for the school system to achieve its learning objectives and achieve the student outcomes that it wants to if you've got this constant churn in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So the school system is talking about it would like to put in a pay raise funded by a tax that would cover not only teachers, but us other school employees as well, other school system employees as well. And it's on the December 7th ballot. Early voting is open now. And BGR took a close look at the proposal, and we came out in favor of it. We felt like the school system had done appropriate planning. They had tried to do everything they could with using money they had saved from schools that they had closed to fund raises, but it's just not enough to get there and accomplish what they want to accomplish. BGR found that it would be a good move that would help stabilize classrooms and ultimately lead to more effective outcomes with students in the parish.
For people in Jefferson Parish that vote for this, what is it going to, is there an average of what it's going to cost them per year with the millage?
So the millage is, the millage levied, the maximum rate is 10.89 mils. So for every $100,000 of home value over the homestead exemption that you have, that's going to be $108.90 that you would have there. And so we looked at, and our report has it, the average home price recently in Jefferson Parish was $320,000. With the homestead exemption, that total, if you had a house of that value, that would run you about $266.
Do you know, have they done any polling on this? Do you know if people seem to be in favor of this or not? I'm just wondering about, I don't know how many people in Jefferson Parish use the public school system, how many use private schools, how many realize the importance of public education, whether they use it or not. Thoughts from either one of you?
You know, we don't look at things like polling. I mean, our role at BGR is to analyze the actual proposal itself and whether, you know, whether the organization has been a good financial steward of resources in the past, whether there's a good plan, and most importantly, whether it's likely to lead to effective outcomes for the public. In this case, we found that it would, and while, you know, the 10.89 mil tax is a significant request of voters at a time when many people are feeling squeezed. It is one that would support a core building block for the future success of the parish's families, economy, and quality of life. I mean, schools are, you know, everyone has an interest in a well-functioning school system, regardless of whether you have kids in the system, because it's so central to the future of a parish and its economy.
Totally agree. When we come back, we'll talk about outcomes and where this would put the salaries of Jefferson Parish teachers where they are now as it relates to other parishes and where this would put them. And I presume this millage is in perpetuity, or does it sunset at some point?
So, like all of the school systems, go ahead, Becky, or do you want me to?
Go, Susie. No, Susie, go.
Like all of the school systems, millages, I believe right now, it would be for 10 years and then would come up for renewal after 10 years.
Got you.
Voters get a chance to see how it works and then weigh in again in 10 years.
All right, we'll take a break, pick it up. We come back, 720 now, traffic, WWL. 724 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Becky Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR, Susie Dudas. Susie, I'm saying that right, huh?
Yes,
okay.
You are correct.
Senior research analyst for BGR about the ballot proposal for a new millage that would fund teacher pay raises. If I'm saying anything wrong, I'm trying to encapsulate this. Y'all please jump in and let me know. And it would cost about, give me that number again, the average tax, the average homeowner, about $108, is that what you said?
So $108.90 for every $100,000 of your home value over that $75,000 homestead exemption.
Gotcha. So it would raise, tell me about the where teacher salaries are in Jefferson Parish right now, what it would raise them to, and how that relates to other parishes in the state, please. Somebody.
Sure. So Jefferson Parish right now, the starting salary for a certified teacher is $51,800. Which is kind of it's a little higher than some, but there's kind of this pack, which is all together of a lot of local school systems in the $50,000 range. This would put them up, it's an $8,300 raise. This would put them up to just over the current highest in the Southeast Louisiana area. It would put them up to $60,100. Which is just above Plaquemines and St. Charles parishes, where right now they're at 60,000.
So one question I have is, does this, and look, competition's a good thing. I'm not against competition, but I just wondered, does this draw teachers away from Plaquemines or away from Orleans Parish, or does it invite
one of
more
the big
people?
Things in talking with the school system that they, you know, they say that in looking at exit interviews that they lose teachers to some of the higher paying parishes. St. Charles in particular is one that they've mentioned. So part of this is to stem, you know, they see it stemming their losses to parishes, that people may come over to Jefferson, be there for a year, get a little bit of experience, mm-hmm. and can find another opportunity, a better paying opportunity, that they will take that. So part of this measure, with obviously, yeah, there is competition, is to try to stop getting new teachers and then losing them. If other school systems or even other sectors in the private sector are paying better.
And I guess at some point, somebody ran the numbers with Jefferson Parish school system and figured that, I guess you got to balance a lot of different things, what the voters are likely to approve and how much you can pay teachers, but that raising the Jefferson teacher to like 60,000 would be the sweet spot?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, how much when they're figuring this, they feel like, you know, overall they can have for a millage rate that voters would accept. What is that going to generate? And then translating that to how large a raise. And certainly, you know, their goal of being very competitive with the school systems that are currently the highest.
And to be clear, BGR, what you do is you look at the way this has been vetted, what they're asking for, what they've done in the past, how they propose to spend the money, and what kind of outcomes they're going to achieve. That's what you're looking at. Accurate?
Yes. Yeah. We look at the strength of the proposal itself and whether it is, you know, worthy for voters to consider. When voters go to the ballot box on election day, they decide, you know, is this something I want to pay for? But we do the analysis of the proposal because it would be really hard for citizens on their own to, you know, come up with the type of information that we are able to assess whether, you know, whether it's likely to lead to effective outcomes. And I should say, we have put in this report that should the school system find that it doesn't need the full amount of the millage that they're asking for, you know, we recommend that they not avail themselves of the full amount. If they find that they come to a point that they've got the money they need and, you know, spare taxpayers if they can possibly do so.
Go ahead, finish, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, part of the issue is that teacher salaries can be so low in Louisiana. There are also teachers that are leaving for other states as well. And, you know, the in general, you need to try to induce more people to go into the profession of teaching or to stay in it rather than switching to a different career.
And a text comes in here. I just would pose the question. I don't know if you know the answer or not, but why was this not on the November 5th ballot?
We do not know the answer to that.
You think there'd been a bigger turnout. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate your time. Have a nice Thanksgiving. Becky Mowbray, Susie Dudas, President and CEO of BGR, and Senior Research Analyst for BGR, respectively. They say the BGR is in favor of that school tax proposition. It's going to be on the ballot on December 7th. We'll talk to Joe DeRusso, New Orleans City Council member, when we come back, get the latest on the Wisner Trust saga and Tulane and all that stuff right now. Time for WWL First News. All righty, here we go. 7:44, 16 till 8. Today is National Cake Day. I'm Tommy Target. This is WWL, by the way, and I'm asking you to text in what's your favorite cake. Just a little lighter subject, but when it comes to what we're about to talk about, it would seem as though Tulane wants to have its cake and eat it too. Joe DeRusso joins us now, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's talk about this Wisner Trust for People and what's going on with Tulane and the Council for People that don't know. I guess we need to give a little bit of background on the legal history of this Wisner Trust and how it got to this point.
Sure. So the Wisner Trust was created by Edward Wisner in 1914 for the benefit of the city of New Orleans, include lands in the greater New Orleans metropolitan area. And the sort of the crown jewel now is Port Fouchon, which obviously works on oil and gas and helps produce that here in the nation, not just for Louisiana. And the trust had these income beneficiaries, people who were supposed to get certain amounts of money from the revenue that was generated each year, including LSU, Tulane, Salvation Army, the city, and then later the Wisner heirs. But at all times, the trust was set to expire 100 years from the time it was created in 2014. About a few years after 2014, I can't remember if it was 15 or 16, then Mayor Landrieu filed a suit to say that the trust had expired and to make sure that those trust assets would remain with the city. The courts have ruled that the trust is over with. But it sounds like the trust continued for a couple of years after that operating, even though it shouldn't have been. And then in 2020, Mayor Cantrell signed a ratification agreement extending the trust. And our view has always been that that trust ratification was an absolute nullity, which means it just has no force of law. And the simplest way I can explain it is when a trust is dead, it is like a person. It is dead. It cannot be revived. It cannot be resuscitated. Nothing can be done to bring it back. And the mayor, in signing that, also violated the law by not including the council who's responsible for disposing of a movable property like is the trust assets here. So the council had to wound up suing the trust, the heirs, Tulane, LSU, et cetera. And we've had a series of legal fights over the last couple of years on the margins, including whether or not the council was a legal entity and our ability to stop the sort of the revenues from being distributed because we thought the trust has expired. So we now have a court date in September 2025 for finally having a hearing or trial on this matter. The parties are going to hash all this out in motion practice over the next couple of months. The city still has not really said what its position is. Relative to everything overall, but the council is going to file, has filed one motion that says the 2020 agreement is null and void and the trust can't be relied on, and all the parties are going to fight about who actually owns this property. The heirs claim that they have an ownership interest now. The council says absolutely not. That's not the case at all. And with regards to Tulane and LSU, I think the council's view has always been, we understand that we're going to continue to do business together. We want to do business together. There's this big charity project that's in the city. We want to support the charity project. We understand its importance. In fact, the council allocated $10 million in this last budget cycle in order to help with the housing side of this. But at the same time, the council has now passed an ordinance saying we're not going to give economic development money to anybody who's adverse to us in the Wisner litigation, because our feeling is the trust is over, it's expired, it's over with, and yet the people who are the defendants, including Tulane and LSU, keep on fighting us on every step of the way. And our view is we need to have the Wisner litigation resolved with those parties before we can talk about giving them more money. And just very simply, this is the way I feel about it. I've learned in government when people say they want to be your partner, that frequently means do what we want and stop telling me what to do. And that's not the way I view a partnership. The way I view a partnership is you're trying to do business together and making sure you're as equal as humanly possible. And so in this instance, we feel like if you want to pursue the lawsuit, you can go ahead and keep on doing that. But it's really hard for us to say at the other end, we're going to give you money for this economic development project, while at the same time, we're embroiled in this litigation that frankly should not have stretched out this long, should not have taken so much time, money, effort, and that we really ought to be focused on the bigger prize, which is charity. And so our hope is you hear us loud and clear and you're ready to negotiate in good faith, which has not happened as much as we would like to have seen over the last couple of years.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. One of my favorite movies is Dr. Strangelove, and Slim Pickens has a line that he says, it's been the one world's fair, a picnic and a rodeo, and that's the stupidest thing he's ever heard. And this seems to me a similar situation. It should have been taken care of back in 2014, I think it was, right, when the trust expired. It was a 2016. Then you had Mayor Landrieu passively letting it continue. Then you got Mayor Cantrell actively making a whatever it seems like a backroom deal. Has she ever spoken out about why she did this?
No.
And as a result, God knows how much money is involved here with the litigation, not to mention somebody wants to know how much money is involved with this trust. We'll talk about that when we come back with Joe Geruso, also about the charity project. 751, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 756 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. Joe, you're looking forward to Thanksgiving weekend? Just maybe take 4 days and unplug?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, love spending time with the family and eating.
Thank God Almighty. Somebody texted and said, how much money is involved with this trust, Joe?
Yeah, it's between $110 and $175 million. So it is real money.
This is cumulative or per year?
That is the total amount that the trust is worth. I think they've dispersed in the revenue per year between $7 and $13 million, just depending on what the price of oil has been.
And so with that money that the city should have gotten for all of those years, that's a considerable amount of money. You'd think there'd be some interest on that as well?
Well, yeah, there would be interest on that, and we have dispersed these funds to Tulane, LSU, the heirs. And remember last time I was on the air with you, we talked about how this is mailbox money. People want to know that it's coming regularly. And look, one of the things we've done is amended our lawsuit to say if we are the owners, which we truly believe that we are, and we think the law supports our position, then we're going to seek to get back, to be reimbursed, disgorge all of those funds that have been paid for as long as we possibly can. And to your point, I don't understand, as we look at this charity project, why the bigger actors in this, in our view, are being penny wise and pound foolish.
That's what it seems like.
Because, yeah, well, because the money that they get, their percentages are very low in all of this. The money that they get each year is really not that much, but the money that they need for charity is a big deal. And they need money both from the city and the state to make the deal work. The state is not going to give them money if the city doesn't give them money. And we have repeatedly said to them, we want to negotiate. We want to be work with you in good faith to try and get all of this ironed out. But if you want 120 cents on the dollar, it's going to be hard for us to do a deal.
Yeah, let me get to this real quick. And, Joe, we only have 60 seconds, but somebody wants to know why does the city believe that out of all of the beneficiaries of the former trust, they're the ones that's entitled to the property now that the trust is over? But that's the way the trust was set up, correct?
That's 100% how the trust was set up way back in 1914, and everybody has acted like that until the trust was expiring.
And LaToya Cantrell decided to go into an agreement to extend it.
Correct. And for in perpetuity, which does not exist.
That's crazy. Thank you, Joe. Have a nice Thanksgiving, all right?
Same to you, Tommy.
Unplug,
take care.
Get away from all that stuff. We come back, we're going to talk to Jason Williams, New Orleans District Attorney, about the French Quarter shooting. Who was out of jail? Who was on an ankle monitor? Is it the judge? Is it Rafael Goyeneche, Metropolitan Crime Commission, saying that the deal should never have been struck in the first place? So we'll address all of that with Jason Williams, DA, when we come back on WWL.